Would like to welcome everyone to the TNA One Night Only Tag Team Tournament conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the conference over to Eric Barnes. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the TNA One Night Only Tag Team Tournament pay-per-view conference call. As normal, I will begin the call with a brief overview of the pay-per-view, and then we will open the lines up for our special guests today, members of Bad Influence and founding members of Ego, Kaz and Daniels. Join TNA Wrestling in a 10-team tag tournament that will determine the greatest tag team in TNA history. This one-night-only pay-per-view event will feature Team 3D, Bad Influence, Generation Me, Samoa Joe and Magnus, Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and more. TNA Wrestling presents One Night Only Tag Team Tournament, premiering Friday, January the 3rd, on pay-per-view. And as we open the lines for questions in just a moment, each of you will have an opportunity to ask one question of Kaz and Daniels to start with, and then we'll open the lines up for a second and third round of questions if we have time. So, Stephanie, you can go ahead and open the lines for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Mike Johnson with PW Insider.
How are you doing?
Mike Johnson, what's going on, man?
That's a question? You pressed one and star to ask how we're doing? We're doing great, Mike. Good to hear. Obviously, a big tournament on the next pay-per-view. You guys pretty much are the tag team franchise when it comes to TNA right now. What were your, your Bad Influence? What were your influences when it came to putting together the team and figuring out what works and what doesn't work in the ring for you guys?
Go ahead, Bracky.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're not just two guys that were thrown together as a team. You know, we're never just two guys that, oh, hey, these guys have a similar look, or we don't know what to do with either of these two guys. We're just going to throw them together. No, we were both very accomplished singles wrestlers. We had accomplished a lot of things in TNA Impact Wrestling over the years and, throughout that whole time we were friends. And we decided that we wanted to be a tag team because we kind of saw the writing on the wall. And so from the get-go, it wasn't a let's see if this will work. It was a this is going to work just because we knew it, just because of the chemistry we had. Being friends, first of all, and in the ring as opponents. We knew we would hit a home run if the opportunity was given to us. And I think over the last several years, we've done just that and kind of revitalized, at least for a while, revitalized the tag team situation in Impact Wrestling, and hoping to continue to do that because that's our main goal right now.
Absolutely. We decided to become this tag team. This wasn't like a choice from the company or like a last resort. This was something that we decided to do because we felt that we could make an impact and become a team the likes of Beer Money or the Motor City Machine Guns or America's Most Wanted. And as far as influences on us, with me growing up in the Carolinas, watching tag teams like the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, Frankie growing up in the Massachusetts area and California watching WWF, seeing tag teams like the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation, these are all teams that inspired us and teams that we had in mind when we were putting together our presentation as Bad Influence.
It's funny you bring up the Midnight Express because that's the team that when I watch you guys, I'm like, well, they seem to kind of carry the essence of what the Midnights did in the late 80s, in the mid to late 80s. So it's interesting that you guys bring that up. So, all right, well, I'll let somebody else jump on. I appreciate your time, and good luck as always. Take care, guys.
Thanks. Don't need it.
Yep.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Lee Med with Alive Radio.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing? It's just gone 8 o'clock over here in a very rainy United Kingdom, and obviously we're looking forward to seeing you guys on the upcoming TNA tour in January. Now, recently on Impact, you've been involved in a lot of, I'm going to say, light-hearted comedy-type stuff with Joseph Parks. What I would like to ask is, how do you find that light-hearted comedy stuff as a performer, because as you both say, these are very accomplished, serious technicians, actually, when the bell goes inside the ring. How do you find the comedy stuff to do?
Well, honestly, it's, all it does is it shows that Frankie and I are two of the most well-rounded entertainers and athletes that TNA has ever had on their roster. If you put us out there with a live microphone in 10 minutes, we'll go out there and entertain you. If you put two of the best wrestlers in the world in the ring against us, we'll go out there and we'll defeat them because we are great wrestlers and we are great entertainers. So we're just showing that we're well-rounded, that it doesn't matter what we're asked to do, we hit a home run every time we're given the opportunity.
Yeah, you know,
when you're coming over here to the UK in January, what can we expect from Bad Influence? Because if I look back to the last time you were here this past January, certainly up in Glasgow, you had the crowd eating out the palm of your hand, coming out, face paint, kilt. You were looking like a couple of proper little Highlanders. Can we expect more of that fun interaction this time during the January tour?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, one thing we never do as Bad Influence is we never rest on what we've done. You know, we always are striving to have that better match, have that better segment, and to do something that is more over the top than what we've done. So, of course, we're not going to just come there and give you a run-of-the-mill show. Of course, we're going to bring out our best, which is what we always do. Everybody in the UK is psyched to see Bad Influence, and rightfully so. So, of course, we have a lot of tricks up our sleeve, and perhaps we're going to bring one to the UK, to one of the many towns we're going to be in.
And think about this, when you think about last year, if you can remember anything else that happened on the UK tour, I'd love you to tell me about it. Because all I hear when people ask about the last UK tour isn't about the world champion or who was wrestling who. They remember Bad Influence, and Bad Influence coming to the ring dressed like Highlanders. Whatever, that's because we're the guys that people remember at the end of the day. We're the people that the wrestling fans talk about. We're the people that wrestlers are chatting about at the end of the day. Everything we do gets people talking.
Very much so. I have to say, guys, as a fan of wrestling, as a fan of the lost art of tag team wrestling, you guys, since you've got together, have rejuvenated that form of wrestling. And personally, I would just like to express my thanks to both of you guys. Keep it going for a long, long time.
We'll do our best.
Oh, you're a human.
Cheers, guys.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Simon Rothstein with the phone.
Simon!
Hey, guys. Hello. How you doing? My guys at the Sun, unfortunately, couldn't get on tonight, so they've asked me to ask a question on their behalf, which is, you guys have been coming over for years. I mean, I remember meeting Chris first time maybe about 10 years ago in the UK. So generally, what have been the highlights of you both individually coming over, both on the Indies and with TNA? Have you got any, you know, memorable matches or favorite places to visit when you're over here?
For me, personally, it's just the fan base. The fans in the States are, you know, in different places, obviously very passionate, but it just seems that every time we've gone over to the United Kingdom, especially with TNA, it's just they're salivating at the chance to see us live because, you know, for the most part, they only get to once a year. So to just wrestle in front of the crowds that are going to give you that much energy and that have been waiting all year to see you is just something really cool for us, especially for performers like Christopher Daniels and myself, who work best, I think, in live environment situations. And, you know, as opposed to taping a show is one thing, but when it's live and the people can feel you and the energy's in the air, that's when the red light's on, you know, that's when we're at our best. So, I personally like going to some of the different type of rock and roll and heavy metal clubs and bars, which there are a lot more over there than there are here, and like cool vintage record stores and stuff, though I don't get a lot of time to do that. And just meeting our fans, because let's be honest, there's a lot of them, especially over there.
Yeah, definitely. As someone who's had the opportunity a couple of years back to wrestle in the Coventry Sky Dome to main event a show that I did there against AJ Styles when I was the first time I had the X Division title, I could tell that even then, before TNA ever had really a touring thing going on in the UK, that there was a fan base for TNA wrestling. And so in the last couple of years, especially going to the O2 Arena, I know Frankie and I, we've both been wowed by the support that we've had from the UK fan base, and we're definitely looking forward to it again this year.
Definitely. And then Max Magnus versus Jeff Hardy. I know that's aired in the States for me and the other UK guys on the call. It airs in the UK on Sunday. So looking ahead, if Magnus were to win on Sunday in the UK, what do you think it will mean to this country to have a British world champion? And what do you guys think of Magnus having both worked with him and against him?
Well, I think that Magnus has come a long way in the last couple of years. I feel like he stepped up his game to the point where, you know, to be in the same tournament with guys like Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, I mean, that says a lot about how far he's come since he's joined TNA. If he wins the World Heavyweight Championship, I'm sure that one of the biggest reactions that we'll get on that tour will be the first time he walks out with that World Heavyweight Championship in his hand.
No, definitely. I would totally agree with that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Kenny McIntosh with Inside the Ropes.
Hi, guys. Good to talk to you. My question is that the TNA programming recently has been really strong with some great stories like the hunt for TNA World Champion, yourselves, Bad Influence, and Joseph Park. And I just wonder, kind of going into 2014, where would you like to see the focus of TNA programming going, both with yourselves and just in general?
I can say this, and this is just for all of wrestling. I think wrestling right now, professional wrestling on television, is a far too sanitized product. I kind of would like to see you get back to the days when it was more you never know what could happen type feel and fly by the seat of your pants instead of just, you know, and I think a good portion of the fans share that opinion. You know, I would just like to, I honestly like to be part of an edgier product, you know, and just, you know, go out there and do things that people are definitely, you know, going to be talking about. And you know, emphasize wrestling a lot, emphasize the fact that we got some of the best athletes in the world, some of the best wrestlers here to perform on this platform, and give them great matches, quality matches, long matches, tag team matches. Like the previous guy had said, tag team wrestling has been called a lost art. Well, Chris Daniels and I have been working very, very hard to bring that back to the forefront and do our best at it. And I think if there was an emphasis on that, it would behoove both us and...
Hello, Steve. This is the operator.
Yes.
Eric Barnes.
Hello?
Yes, this is the operator. Eric Barnes
yes.
wants me to ask you if you can ask a question.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to release you back into the conference, okay? It's star one
okay.
to ask a question.
Star one, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe we put a little more emphasis on the tag team division. Maybe we put a little more emphasis on the X division because, honestly, there have been times when those have been the divisions that have carried the company that have been – the reason that people have been tuning in. And, you know, I feel like the more variety that we have in both of those divisions, the better it is for us as a product and as a company.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of TNA's strengths in the last few months has been the a lot of the kind of the backstage skits or, you know, you guys going to the legal office of Joseph Park or Rockstar Spud going out to Georgia. And to be honest, I think in wrestling that you guys are doing the best with that sort of stuff at the moment because it seems to be striking the best balance for the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and those things are just, you know, just entertaining ways to tie the story that happens in the ring together, you know. I mean, the main emphasis should and is what happens between those ropes, you know, in that squared circle, whether it be a tag match or a singles match. All the stuff we do, the segments, the skits backstage, that's all just icing on the cake, you know, and the cake that's the sizzle on the steak that is going to be the match and the end of the feud or, you know, whatever it is. But that's something that's always, I think, been very important and a very important element to professional wrestling.
For sure. Thanks very much for asking my question, guys.
Yep. You're welcome.
Remember, if you have a question, dial star and then one. If you want to loan Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian 200 pounds, please press star and the number two.
Again, please press star one to ask a question. Your next question is another question from Lee Med with Alive Radio.
Hi, guys. Earlier, you were talking about the teams that influenced you when you were growing up. Looking at the history of great tag teams we have had, and also bad influence included in that one, if you could face a tag team from the past that's no longer together, who do you think you would like to take on in a match that would showcase your talents the most?
That's a good question. There's so many. Obviously, you know, like, for me, it would be a team like the Rockers or the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express, just because, you know, that is tag team wrestling. But also, on that same token, I would like to, you know, a Bad Influence versus Legion of Doom match, I think, would have been great just because of the clash of styles, because, you know, Chris Daniels and myself are guys that are very stylistically, physique-wise, and everything else, very similar, whereas teams like the Legion of Doom and, you know, even like the British Bulldogs were very much, you know, big guys and power-based guys, or even teams like Hart Foundation, where you had Jim Neidhart, who was the power, and Bret Hart, who was the technician and the speed and everything. But, you know, there's so many. So I could literally, all my influences that I've mentioned about tag team wrestling, I would like to have a match with them.
Yeah, definitely. We've been compared favorably to Edge and Christian in the past as well, and I think that would be,
yes,
stylistically a very interesting matchup between the two of us and the two of them.
Very much so. I think in all rounds, I think the comparison between yourself and Edge and Christian is probably spot on athletically inside the ring, the way you have the crowd in the palm of your hands, entertaining, top to bottom. A great comparison from the two of you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, to ask your question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Please compliment Eric Barnes on the TNA holiday sweater that he's wearing for this, by the way, folks.
At this time, we do have another question from Mike Johnson with PW Insider.
Hello again, John.
Hi. Hi.
Here's my question for you. What do you think is the best and worst influence that you've had on each other?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that's an open-ended question, obviously. I'll say this from a performance aspect. Keeping up with Christopher Daniels is one of the things that keeps me on my toes. And I have to stay sharp as an axe, because he's quick. He's brilliant when it comes to just to promos, to anything, to just, you know, I take a lot of pride in the fact that we're two of the guys that TNA always, whether it be 70 cameras or whatever, have no problem coming and sticking a camera in our face, because we're two guys that can just go just like that. And I think I've improved a lot over the last couple of years, just keeping up with Chris Daniels, who's very witty, very intelligent, and just very knowledgeable when it comes to just the professional wrestling promo and the delivery. Outside the ring, I'd say we're both terrible influences on each other. We're both worse people for knowing each other. We're not even real human beings at this point. We're basically cartoons. I've dragged Chris Daniels to a place that I don't think he ever thought he'd be. And likewise. So we're terrible influences on each other personally, but I think great influences professionally.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, in the sense that Frankie has actually pushed me to try and up my game in terms of promos. But one of the things that Frankie does for me is that he pushes me to be, you know, ready to go when it comes to the physical portion. When we're on the road, I always, you know, whenever I feel like I could sleep in, when I don't want to go work out, Frankie's always there to push me, because I know he's going to work out. I know he's going to eat right. And so the things that keep your body sort of in readiness to be a professional wrestler, Frankie's an expert at it. And so I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to let him go to the gym by himself. I'm not going to, you know, eat crap while he's eating clean. So he's definitely pushed me to stay in better shape and to push myself in the ring. And as far as like dragging me to a horrible place, Frankie, I feel like it was more of a lateral drag, because aren't we both sort of in the same spot? Are we?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I took you on a hard left. Yeah, I didn't really completely drag you down. Yeah,
no,
that's
not
fair.
Well, I hope there's not too many hard lefts in your future, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's cool. Yeah, take care, Mike.
Yep.
There are no additional questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back over to Eric for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin Daniels, for taking time to answer a few questions today, and thanks, everyone, for participating in the call. Again, the One Night Only Tag Team Tournament will premiere on Friday, January the 3rd, 2014, and will be available the entire month of January. And our next call will actually take place in January, and we will send out additional info on that call in advance sometime in early January. Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon and a happy holidays.